It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Kia ora, Rachel. I'm good, thank you very much. Apart from a broken harbour bridge and, yes, and a drought and COVID-19 and
just
one or two
classics.
Other problems I won't bother you with.
Well, we will actually start by probably touching base with COVID, because we've been told by the government now that the rest of the country's already at alert level 1 as of last night, and we will be sitting at alert level 2 properly by Wednesday, 11:59 p.m. Now, on a practical level, what is this going to mean for Aucklanders going about their day-to-day? What's going to be the major differences, Phil?
I think the main thing is the gathering size. So we were restricted to 10, and now it's up to 100. So a whole lot of people will be able to do things. I guess it'll help with bars, restaurants, cafeterias. It will help with some church services, gatherings where you know, obviously with things like, as long as it's not too big, a wedding or a funeral. So it's an easing off of pressure, and it's certainly a step in the right direction. I'd really like to be back at level one, as everybody would be. But, you know, I was just thinking this morning as I came in and heard that the United States had just hit 200,000 deaths from COVID-19, and then contemplated what was happening in Britain and France and Spain and a second wave coming over us. I was about to sit here and grizzle about level two, and I thought, actually, maybe not. Mm. Well, we're in such a great position compared to other places, but getting back to level one will be nice. I mean, we shouldn't be complacent that that's the end of it and we won't see further outbreaks. I think given the nature of the disease and the way that, you know, it's rampant around the world and returning New Zealanders, there will still be some occasions. Mm-hmm. But what we've shown twice is that by proper measures and with really strong public cooperation, we can defeat and contain it. But it does come at a cost. Any response to COVID-19 comes at a cost. And actually, no response to COVID-19 comes at an even bigger cost.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm quite interested in what your thoughts are on continuing masking, because this has been a conversation that, excuse me, has come up a few times in the last sort of outbreak, I guess, of COVID. We are seeing masking at the moment compulsory on public transport across the whole country at level two and above. Do you think this should be something we could continue into level one as well, preventatively? Is that something you'd like to see?
Yeah, I'm not sure we'd get public compliance if at level one, where you've effectively got no community transmission, and we're pretty close to that at the moment. People say, well, if there's no COVID-19 in the community, why would we bother? And the answer to that, I guess, is, well, we don't know, and when something comes back in, it is an added protection. I would hope that, you know, one thing that would be long-standing from all of this is that, you know, when I was a foreign minister or trade minister, I'd go to countries in Asia and all these people were wearing masks. Sometimes it was about the pollution if you're in Beijing, and sometimes it was, you know, in Japan or Korea, that people who had head colds wore masks. And I think it's eminently sensible that if you've got a cough and a sneeze and a bit of a head cold, and you're going out in public, wear a mask is a really good idea. So I hope that there's a permanent legacy, so that you know people don't look at you in a strange way to say, well, what the hell are you doing with that covering over your face? Are you going to rob a bank? But rather, you just accept that if you've got a cold, wear a mask. Actually, and with the government's change to the sick leave, if you've got a cold, actually you should stay at home rather than take it to work with you. And I'm guilty of that. You know, I'm a workaholic, and you know, I'm not going to let a bloody head cold stand in the way. But I'm not doing any favours to people if I'm spreading it. So,
and
I hope
certainly at the
changes.
Moment, the messaging is very much, if you are sick and you live in Auckland, you should be staying home and getting tested as well while we are still at level two.
Absolutely. And even into level one, I think using your COVID app, I'm in the habit of doing it now, so I'll probably keep doing it. You know, if you are ill, and you have any symptoms, or you're worried, even if you're worried, get a test. I think those things are going to be important. Encourage, you know, maybe on public transport, people will continue wearing masks. I just noticed that actually, even in recent days, there's a bit of a downturn in people out in the streets wearing masks. And I think, you know, the before the government would look at making something like that mandatory, they would have to consider whether they could carry public opinion with them, and frankly, I don't think they could.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Harbour Bridge, because that's something that obviously is affecting people a lot at the moment. Now, this has been kind of a very quick sort of situation to arise, but it's going to be a long period to fix, and we're seeing that some temporary solutions are going to be put in place. Can you walk us through what those temporary solutions are going to look like?
Yeah, and I pushed quite hard over the weekend with ministers and with the Transport Agency and AT to look at whether we could have something in place that would not leave four lanes on the Harbour Bridge not able to be used for up to a five-week period. You know, I'm looking out the window now, and actually, ironically, over the bridge it's moving okay, but I'm looking back, I've got a sweeping view of the harbour here, and the sun's glinting off the windscreens of cars going back as far as I can see.
Right.
You know, and it is a real problem. So hopefully they're going to start work tonight on taking out the strut that's damaged and putting a temporary strut in. The permanent strut will take about 5 weeks, I think, to manufacture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I grew up with Meccano sets. Nobody knows what Meccano sets are today.
I remember Meccano sets.
Good on. Thank you for helping me out there, Rachel. But, you know, it's not that simple. When you put a new beam in like that, that's a load-carrying beam, you've got to retension the bridge, and it's you know, it's stuff, engineering stuff I haven't got my head around, but I sure as hell know that you've got to get it right. So the good news, the bad news is for the next couple of days, we're still going to have a problem, and the bridge may be closed between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning while they do the work on that. Then we'll get a couple of lanes open at least. The other good news is there's still spare capacity on the buses and on the ferries.
Mm-hmm.
The bus load went up about 20 to 30% yesterday, ferries up over 30%, but still spare capacity there, and it's a hell of a lot quicker.
Well,
it's quicker than the option of going across State Highway 18 and on to State Highway 16 over Greenhithe.
This has kind of highlighted that we have got sort of limited, I mean, we have got lots of options, but in some ways it is still quite limited to get from the shore into the city. And when we have a problem like this happen, it really shows how, you know, reliant we are on cars to get across that. What is the council looking at longer term? And I'm talking like the longer term,
in terms of
increasing the ability for Aucklanders to get across that body of water without necessarily having to get in a car. What is being talked about there?
Well, I think, the Second Harbour Crossing, the business plan has been done on that. I haven't seen it yet. It's still with the New Zealand Transit Agency because it's a government project. It's run out of Wellington. But we will get to see that, and Auckland Transport Board will get to see that. I think probably, I mean, it will be a tunnel. I'm pretty sure of that. I think it has to have rail through it. It might be light rail or heavy rail, probably light rail. Whether it has cars on it is still a moot point. There's no, you know, if you look at the Harbour Bridge moves easily, and the congestion's at either end of it. And if you create a car tunnel and increase more capacity for cars, you've still got congestion mm-hmm. problems at either end of the tunnel. So to me, public transport makes sense. When we put the Northern Busway in, people really doubted whether the, you know, North Shore, you know, wealthier part of town, would ever use a bus. Nearly half of the people coming from the North Shore use a bus, and if it wasn't for the Northern Busway, we would have needed a replacement for the Harbour Bridge probably years ago. So public transport is the way to get around. And, you know, we face the geographic challenge of Auckland. It's an isthmus, it's got two harbours, it's hard to develop a public transport system around it. But the Western Ring Route will help. That's an alternative to the Southern Motorway and to the Harbour Bridge. But that's pretty congested at the moment as well. But you know, step by step we'll get there. But the big thing for the future will be, I believe it will be, a public transport network, and likely to be light rail.
I just wanted to touch base on another ongoing situation that you mentioned briefly at the start there. It is our water crisis in Auckland. We're seeing, though, that a $34 million reserve out in Pukekohe is being green-lighted. Can you talk to us a bit about this?
Yeah, I stood on the top of it on Friday, and it's now in action, and we'll officially open it, I think, the week after next. It carries 50 million litres. That's 20 Olympic swimming pools full of water, drawn from the Waikato and cleaned and treated at Tuakau, and then gravity-fed right through to the city. And that, you know, 50 million litres sounds like a lot, eh? In the middle of summer, we go through that in 2.5 hours in Auckland.
Right.
But it will enable us to take up to now 175 million litres a day from the Waikato, $34 million there. We're also reopening a new water treatment plants on some bores in Pukekohe, which will be another 5 million litres. That's over $12 million worth as well. And by Christmas, we'll have the Hayes Creek water treatment plant open, which will be capable of 6 to 12 million litres a day on average. So by Christmas, we'll have another 40 million litres coming into the city. Currently, we're saving about 40 million litres a day. All sounds good. Lowest draw ever from the storage lakes in the Hoonuas. But guess what? For the last 8 days, the lake level hasn't changed. We are still in dry weather, believe it or not. You know, it does rain, but it's not raining enough. Even with the minimal draw that we can take from the lakes, we're just not getting there. We're still 22% behind.
So what's this going to mean? What's this going to mean for summer? Are we going to be looking at some serious water restrictions?
No, I don't believe so. But the debate at the moment is whether we should be easing restrictions. And if we do, it will be very much just at the margins. I don't believe that we should be moving into significant changes to those restrictions before we see what the weather patterns are like through the rest of spring and what summer's looking like. You know, the irony of this situation is a decent downpour for a week would make all the difference in the world, but that's not something we can control. And at the moment, it's still forecast to be a drier than average spring, not as bad as it was going to be. And the big thing will be whether we have a La Nina or an El Nino over summer. La Nina can bring the opportunity for a tropical cyclone in summer, and that would make a big difference, wetting everybody's gardens, paddocks, and helping to fill the lakes. So, look, Aucklanders have done really well is the short answer. We've brought on another, you know, by Christmas we'll have another 40 million litres a day to add to what we had last year. But we start the year, somewhere in the low 70s percent lake full, whereas last year it was just under 90%.
Well, that is at least positive sort of movements there, but yeah, still waiting on the weather is a bit of a sort of situation, isn't it?
Well, I'm confident that everything's being done, but we've still got to be really careful with our water is the short answer. Like most parts of the bloody world, actually, in summer, we've always thought, you know, wet Auckland, we never have a problem. The climate change that we seem to be having is making a difference.
Well, we appreciate your time this morning, Phil, as we do every Tuesday. We'll talk to you again next week when we will be sitting in proper level two.
Yeah, that will be good, and it'll be even better a fortnight later.
Exactly. All right, thank you very much. Have a nice week.
Rachel.
See you.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you very much.